me up, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, what I want to talk to you about is, I want to talk to you about Satan. I want to talk to you about his deception. And he's not an influence. He's a created creature. He's a cherubim. and he is very much alive. Somebody said that I've had people say, well, he's chained according to Revelation. Well, that ain't happened yet. And it's like the old lady that heard a man preach that Satan was chained. And she said, well, if he is, he sure has got a long chain because he's influencing the world. But I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read this one verse. And according to context of this, now, there was a man, and I believe this man that he's talking about, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that had committed fornication with his father's wife. That's pretty bad. And the Corinthians was sort of boasting about it. They was not mourning over this. And so Paul told them to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Well, evidently they did do this, and so they put some... Notice in chapter 2, I'm going to go back and read verse 6 here. Sufficient to such a man. Of course, I believe that man is the man of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But anyways, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was afflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. In other words, they shunned him. They put him out. They wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And this caused this man sorrow. And so verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Verse 11 is my verse here. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's sort of what I want to talk to you about. The word Satan there is adversary. And he has many adversaries in the Bible, and he uses people to be an adversary to the Lord. It's someone that causes problems. It's someone that causes division and such like that. But I want you to notice his devices. Turn back to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And also go ahead and take chapter 1. And notice in chapter 1 and chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I believe some of his devices is to cause divisions and strifes. And notice in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So, verse 4, and while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Well, the envy and strife and divisions, in other words, they were divided. And look in chapter 1, and notice in chapter 1, he says down in verse, this division causes contention, verse 11, For it has been declared unto me, you, of me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, that's Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? And evidently it had to do with baptism, because Paul spends about 4 or 5 verses showing that baptism is nothing and that he's not sent to be baptized. In other words, the contention was, in my own opinion, and this is my opinion about it, based upon just reading this in the context, that some of them were saying, you need to be baptized like Peter's baptism, John's baptism, and baptism, and or this way and that, and there was contentions among them, and they were divided, and there were strifes among them, just like it is today. And so Paul says, well, he says, verse 13, was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, and lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And that's sort of what was going on in this carnal church, and they were striving. He said, I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I knew not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. In other words, it's not important anyway. And here you are bickering about the thing and carrying on about the thing. And he said, I thank God I baptized none of you. Now, if a good old Baptist preacher got up in front of his congregation and said, I thank God I baptized none of you, how long you reckon he'd be the good old preacher in that congregation? They'd get rid of him, wouldn't they? Why? They value that. And so that value toward that becomes an idol. Now, look back with me about this, and I'm not going to preach on water baptism. I want you to see how Satan works. He works in dividing the people. He works in causing strife among the people. He works in causing division among the people. Now, notice in back in the past, he said, lest we should Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, sometimes, and I'm going to give you 3 snares of Satan. But sometimes we snare our own self. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy and look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're not ignorant of his devices. He uses snares. What's a snare? Well, it's a trap. He tries to trap you. He tries to snare you. And so, notice this in 2 Timothy. But we snare and trap ourselves. Look in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now watch verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself. You notice what he said? He does it himself. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. You know what that verse is telling me? That people get so wrapped up in the affairs of their life that they ain't got time to serve the Lord. Now that's just making it simple. And we get so wrapped up in what's going on in our little life and our little world around us, me and myself and my four or whatever, that we ain't got time to sit down and read. We ain't got time for prayer. We ain't got time to talk to people about the Lord. We ain't got time to come to church. We ain't got time to fellowship one with another. We're too busy. And if we ain't got nothing else to do, then we'll come on. Isn't that the way it is? That's what he said, people today, that no man warreth. So you are not going, you're in a war. Now, whenever you're in a war, you have generals out there in the field. And them generals knows what's going on in the battlefield. And if you want to know how the war's going on, you go listen and talk to the generals. You don't listen and talk to the politicians in Washington. They wouldn't know what's going on in the world out there with the soldiers or the battle. And so you go to people that's in the battle. No man warreth. But we're in a war, folks. We're in a battle. And we are soldiers. We're called to be soldiers. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have a ministry as God has given us grace. And let me tell you something. You have a job to do in the body of Christ, and God gives you grace to do that job, and it's according to His grace that you ought to be doing it, and He gives you the faith to do it. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you didn't do that job, you will lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ because He gave you the tools to do it. But you know something? We act like that this is all there is. We're not here to feed our flesh. We're not here to enjoy the things of life. We're here to prepare for the other life. That's the important life. We're headed for eternity. We are not here to gather up big amounts in a bank account. We're here to put something in that account up there. What's in your account? Say, well, what about that? Turn back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Now, people get entangled themselves and they can't serve the Lord. Notice in Philippians chapter 4. Paul talking about that, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your what? Account. Do you have an account? Well, you know what I'm talking about, an account. You have a bank account, don't you? And you make deposits in that checking account or savings account. You go to that bank and you deposit so much and you that let it grow and you want it to grow. And there's nothing wrong in having that. There's nothing wrong in having all this. But what about your spiritual account? What about your account that's in eternity? What are you putting in it? What are you depositing there? Or are you bankrupt? You ought to know, folks. It's wrapped up in Romans through Philemon. Now, there are three snares that I want to give you. Number one, a marred testimony. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. And if I don't move on, I won't get done. 1 Timothy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe there's a snare of a marred testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, he's talking about the bishops, but it can apply to every member of the body of Christ. Look in verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Them which are without are the world out there, the lost out there, the people that you're trying to reach. Of them without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Well, now, why would he have to have a good report to keep out of the snare? Well, turn with me and look over with me, and I tell you what, go to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. And notice in chapter 9, why do you need a good report of the people that are lost? Why do they need to see something about you that they don't have? Well, look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. And to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run, that ye may obtain? Every man that striveth for the magistracy is tempered in all things. He disciplines himself. A man that's running a race or a marathon or he's in some kind of sporting event, he has to discipline his body. He eats the right kinds of food. He exercises. He gets up. I mean, he just don't get up off the couch and hadn't even trained in it and go out and start doing the event that he's supposed to do. No, that ain't going to work. He never would make it. So what does athletes do? They train, they practice, they train. They train their bodies, they train their muscles. They build up strength and stamina. They go on and they sacrifice, they discipline themselves, and they eat the stuff that they're supposed to eat. And they do the right things so that they got one thing in mind. They want to finish that race, win the prize. Well, the race we're running in now, folks, that's your testimony is the most important thing you have. And if the people that you're trying to reach for the Lord, or you're trying to get them to see the truth, they see you and they see you live a worse life than they live, you think they're going to pay any attention to you? Come on now, be honest. Look what he says. He said, and every man that striveth for the magistracy is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I mean, folks, if you are out there and you're just out there and they can't, that you have no influence on them because of the way you do, the way you live, the way you carry on, the way you talk, the way you act, you have no influence on them, and you go talk to them about the Lord, or you go talk to them about going to church, or if you go talk to them about studying the Bible rightly dividing, and you've done all these, folks, you know what you're doing? You're just blowing hot air to them. That's what he's saying. You're just beating the air. Why I won't listen to you? Now look at verse 27. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into, what's that word? Subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway is the opposite word of approval in 2 Timothy 2:15, where he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That word castaway, it denotes a judgment. There is a judgment seat of Christ, and you don't want to be rejection. Castaway is people that will be rejected. In other words, there are two things to that word. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and your works will be rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ. Or there is, you are cast away, a rejection of the people that's trying, you trying to lead and trying to win to Christ. And they see your life and you a castaway in their eyes. I don't want to be a castaway to you. And I'm not talking about putting a sign on your back saying I'm a Christian. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. Look what he says there. Turn with me and notice something else. Come over to Titus. Notice, I'll tell you what. Stop off at 1 Thessalonians. And notice in 1 Thessalonians. Verse chapter 4. Verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business. That's something. Isn't that something? And to work with your own hands as we command you. Now watch it. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Why did he say walk honestly toward them that are without? They want to see an honest person. Hey, you say I'm a Christian, and you turn around and cheat them. Are they going to think you're a Christian? Or they see you stealing, and then you go tell them, Jesus loves you. Do you not see what I'm talking about, folks? You're to walk honestly toward them. They ought to see an honest person. They ought to see somebody that loves the Lord. Look back in 1 Thessalonians before we go to 10, look over in 1 Thessalonians. And I should have had you to stop. And I know I'm running you around like a copper runs them deers at home. Kevin and Joshua's hound dog. I watched him yesterday. Me and June went out on the porch deck, was watching him. And he just. I don't know if the deers is playing with him or what it is, but they got him going in circles up there, man. And he just stays on that trail. And I don't mean to do that. And I don't know why he mentioned that. I'm running you around like copper does them here and there and everywhere. Look in chapter 8. Notice what he says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same, his love for God, the same, is known of him. If you love the Lord, people's going to know that you love the Lord. You know, I've heard people say, and I've had them to say, you know, this couple here, boy, they just love each other. You can just see it all over. And you can. There are people like that. Boy, you can tell he loves his mother. You can tell he loves or she loves her daddy. You can just see it. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you love the Lord, people's going to know that you love the Lord. The same is known of him. Now, look over with me to Titus. Titus 2. Titus chapter 2. We talked about walking honestly toward them. See, Satan like gets you in a place where people don't think you're honest. That's a snare. People that are without see you as a dishonest person. That's a snare. People that are without see you and you're above them, or you act like, you know, you can be the most religious person in the world. You can go where you wouldn't even, if you sneezed and didn't have a handkerchief, you'd think it was sin. You could live a life. If you was a woman, you could wear long dresses and long sleeves and never wear makeup and have your hair in a ball back here and all of that thing and walk around all pious and everything and still not be a good report to them that are without. Look at this thing in chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says, sound, what's that next word? Speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. How do you talk? You know what I'm talking about? Your testimony, folks. Another word, a marred testimony, is those that are without have no confidence in what you're saying, what you do, and your testimony has no effect. Number two, and by the way, you have liberty, but don't let that liberty be a stumbling block to others. You're free. In fact, let me read you a couple. Go back there to where was that? 1 Corinthians. And notice in chapter 8 again, in verse 9, there are weak people. And sometimes I have a problem with that. And I forget that people sometimes have a weak conscience. They don't see the things that I see in Scripture. And sometimes I make fun of them, and I shouldn't, if they're brothers in Christ, sisters. But look what he says there in verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. The knowledge at verse 6, but there is only one God, and he's offering, eating stuff offered to idols. And Paul says, we know that an idol is nothing. But look in verse 7, he said, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. In other words, they don't see it the way I see it. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their consciences being weak is defiled. Verse 9, but take heed lest any... lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. They're weak because they have lack of knowledge. They don't have the knowledge of the Scriptures. And they see things that you do and you realize there's nothing wrong. But to them it's wrong. And they become hurt. Verse 11, then through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak consciences, you sin against Christ. Turn over, look back in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And I know he's talking about things offered unto idols, but you can use that for anything. I've used illustration hundreds of times here. I mean, I could get out there today and get out there and mow my yard and not think nothing about it. Why? I don't deem Sunday as any other day higher than any other day. It's just a day we picked out to come up here and meet together because it's convenient for all of us to meet together. But if the majority of our church, if the majority of you said, come to me and said it'd be more convenient that we meet on Friday or Tuesday or Wednesday night and have our service then, that'd be all right. I'd say praise the Lord and we wouldn't even be here today. Y'all understand? Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, he says there, him, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. And he goes on and talks about all of this stuff. Verse 5, he said, one man esteemeth one day above another. And they do today. Some people call this their Sabbath. Some people won't go out and eat on the day today. They will not go after church and get them a meal. But they expect their wife to go home and cook. To me, that's more work than going to the meal, but they don't want to buy on Sunday. They don't want to go out on Sunday. They call it the Sabbath, and they call it desecrating the Lord's Day and all of this, and on the thing goes, and they hold Sunday as a high day. Well, I'm not in that category. He said, verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. That's me, brother. I esteem every day alike. Every day is a day of grace for me. Every day is a day that I get up and I can breathe God's air and feel His sunshine and praise God that I'm saved by the grace of God. He says, but another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live or whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord. Now look down in verse, come on down with me. I'm going to just skip all that. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. Let no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now look at verse 14. This will be where the rubber meets the road, if you believe this Bible. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Do you believe that? Hang on with me. Turn it over to, hang on to Romans. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see if you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. In other words, they were like that, but now they're wars. But ye are wars. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now watch verse 12. But all, he says, all things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. They're not necessary. They're not something you've got to do. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Turn over to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than Him? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Again, unnecessary. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Well, what is the wealth? Verse 33. even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. There are all things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful to me under, in the context of 1 Corinthians, is the thing that the unrighteous do. The people can't handle that. I just read you in 1 Corinthians what the unrighteous do, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you're wars. But then he turns right around and says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Is all things lawful for you? But all things are not necessary, and they're not profitable, and you cannot do them things and expect to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And your love for the Lord constrains you, motivates you, that you bring your body under subjection to keep from doing those things that are lawful. You can do them. Why? You ain't going to lose your salvation over it. You understand? But you'll lose your testimony. But then he says there's a snare. And quickly, turn to 1 Corinthians. Snare of that. Here's another snare. Look in a snare of, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we have the snare of a marred testimony. Satan wants to get your testimony. He wants you to not be effective. He wants you to not have no influence over people and over winning people to the Lord and getting people to see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. Now folks, if they reject you for showing them the truth, you sit down with them and you show them the Word of God and you show them what the Apostle Paul has to say and they reject you, your hands is clean on that. That's not what he's talking about. But notice this snare here. Turn, look in chapter in verse 7. He said, chapter 6, verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 6, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry everything out. It ain't going to do you no good, is it? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And he's not saying you shouldn't want other things. He's saying if you got them things, just be content that you got that. And all the other things you're going to see in the context is given to you by God for your enjoyment. Now look what he says. Verse 9, but they that will be rich, that will, they desire, will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. They become, they're drowned in there. It's a snare of wealth. Notice verse 10, for the love, that covetousness, that desire, that you would do anything to get that love, for the love of money. It's not the money. Money's not the problem. It's your lusting after the money. It's your desire after that money that you will do anything, lie, cheat, or steal to get it. And that's what's wrong with our religious system today. We got a bunch of charlatans standing in the pulpit, and they're up there. They're like Balaam. They ran greedy after the reward of Balaam. Balaam did it for the money. But look what he said. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say it was the root of all sin. Said he was the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But look over into the chapter there And notice what he says in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, full of pride. They're proud. They look down on others because they've got more than somebody else. And so they're high-minded. They think they're better than somebody else. Let me tell you something. If you think you're better than anybody else in this building here, if there's somebody in here and you think you're better than them, you need to get your heart right with God right now. Oh, you're no better than anybody else. We're all sinners, and if we had justice, we'd all be in hell. And if God didn't send His Son into the world to die for them sins and pay for your sins, you'd be in hell. There's no big I's and little U's. Some people don't have the opportunity to have what others have. Some people give up to do other things. Some people make bad choices. Some people make good choices. It ain't got nothing to do with how much the Lord loves you more than He loves somebody else. Don't be high-minded. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. In other words, they can be gone tomorrow. This economy, I mean, we're borrowing more money than we're taking in. I mean, the country's already bankrupt. And sooner or later, there's going to be a collapse. And you could lose your money that you got in the bank. I could lose mine. I mean, my $35 could just go like that. Be gone. Uncertain. Trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who... Now watch it. Who giveth us richly all things to what? To enjoy. In other words, having food and raiment, you ought to be content that you got that. Hey, I'm content, but look at what else I've got that God has given me to enjoy. And just recognize that it came from the Lord. Now the snare is, you turn your back on the Lord to get more of those things that God can give you. And you, that's all you think about. And you're no good to the Lord. The last snare is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's the snare of false doctrine. And people are snared in it. If I drew the religious system, you know what it would look like? And I'll see if you can recognize it. Anybody know what this is? Nobody yet. Nobody yet. I think somebody said it. It's a spider web. That's a great spider web. Now, if I was you, I'd take a, you want me to sign it? Take a picture of that and frame it, and that's going to be worth a lot of money someday. That, to me, is the religious system. You know why a spider builds a web? So he can snare something. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice what he says there in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. And I have a problem with that. Sometimes I'm not gentle. Sometimes I get it. And I have. I really got a problem with that. I'm easy when it comes to dealing with people, and sometimes I'm not too gentle when I ought to be. And I shouldn't. And so, you know, that's just one of them. Of course, I know I'm talking to all perfect people here, but anyway, I'm not perfect. But look what he said. He said in verse there, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And if you want to see that, an example, just write it down. I'm not going to turn there, but in Acts 18, verse 16, you'll find them where they oppose themselves. Oppose themselves, if God preventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who, the people that's in the snare, are taken captive by him, the devil, at his will. Do you know Satan has a will? And his will and purpose is the opposite of God Almighty. God's will that all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Satan's will is all men to be damned and hide the truth. And if you're going to hide it, the best way to hide it is to camouflage it and have a little truth mixed up with a whole bunch of lies. And that's the religious system. And there are people that are in the body of Christ that are snared in that religious system. And that's what it happened. Notice back in verse 18. In this religious system what Satan snares people, in verse 16 he said, but shun profane and vain babblings. And that's what they preach. They preach in verse 14 that they charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. To subvert means to turn upside down. It's to ruin. It's to overthrow. It's to corrupt people. People are corrupted by vain babblings and words of no profit, and their counsels are darkened, and they're in there, and they're in darkness, blinded by that religion that they're a part of. Look what he says. Verse 17, and their word will eat if doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Folks, Paul said over there to Timothy, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast heard of me, and the doctrine. And he said, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. My desire is to say, keep you out of the snare and the spiderweb of religion, and to keep you out of false doctrine that will snare you and get you bound. Now, you know something? It don't take much to get people. They want to be entertained anyway. So what does these churches do? How does they work today? Well, we have so much to offer. We have this young person's program. We have the kiddies program. And we do all of this. And we go there and the children, yay, mama, yay, I want to go to that church. Look what we do over there. And the pressure's put on. And they get in there and they get snared and they get entrapped. And they never hear what Jesus Christ done for them. Three snares that Satan does. Avoid them. Turn your back on them. Have no dealings with them. Stay with the book. Because this life is not what you're here for. You're here preparing for the other life. And there is another life. And many of you have loved ones, and I have loved ones that's on the other side. And they're waiting. And one day, if the Lord don't come back, everybody in here will be on the other side. Waiting for that day when we start eternity. And as you stand before Him, the one that loved you and died for you and gave Himself and was rich and became poor, that through His poverty you might be rich. And you look back on your life and you say, oh my God, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I honor you more? When you've seen what you could have had in eternity, you know what's going to be bad? You see your children when they come up before Him. And they look over at you and say, Mom, Dad, why didn't you take me where I could hear? Why didn't you help me to get saved? And you see the angels come and get them and cast them into the lake of fire. You think, you say, well, you crazy. Let me tell you something. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. There is something terrifying that we're headed to. My children are not saved because I'm saved and their mama's saved. If they're saved, and I believe they are, but I don't know for sure, it's because they personally made that choice to the Lord and not me. But I want to give them every opportunity. I want my grandchildren to have every opportunity to trust Christ. I don't want to see them end up in hell, do you? You ought to thank God in heaven that you have an assembly that you can come to and hear the Word of God. And hear the gospel of Christ. Do you even pray for it? Do you get down on your knees and say, God, I thank you for Charity Bible Church. I thank you for the Bible study. I thank you for all that I get to do. I thank you, Lord, that you give me a part. And Lord, help me to do something more. You ever do that? Well, I could go on, but I won't. If this means anything to you, don't get trapped in some snare. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty.